By their fruits you will know them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, we have some very special readings today, and especially teachings about our faith, as always, but especially today, because we see how important it is to bear fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. The way people are, and what they do, and how they live, show how they keep the commandments. And we see how their lives are. We can tell what they are. By their fruits you shall know them. And the Lord tells us also that we have to be careful in this day and age of false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. These are people who do not bear fruit. They are false prophets. And because they are false and they're not doing what's right, they will bear no fruit. And so will those who follow them. And I must say, my dear friends, in these years, this 20th century, we've had lots of false prophets. Saint Pius X reminded us this when he condemned modernism. They went underground for a little while, but they rose up again in mid-century. The modernists have taken control of the church, and in many ways they have not listened to sound doctrine. And they are false prophets, and we see that today with some of the teachings. They're teaching things that were not taught in past ages, and they love innovations, and they do not like tradition. They always like new gimmicks. It's like St. Paul said, they have itching ears. They like to see novelty and so on. And so we see today, we have to be very careful. Because of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Our Lady sort of hinted at this at Fatima. She said, Portugal will not lose the faith. In Portugal, the faith will be safeguarded. What does that mean? That means in many other countries, it will not be safeguarded. And there'll be many people who will fall away. And we see that now with the apostasy in the church. So many souls have fallen away. And part of that is due to the various teachings that have come out since the mid-century. Since Vatican II, in the aftermath, things that were not mandated by Vatican II, but were taken up by liberals and modernists after Vatican II for their own purposes. And this is why so many people got disillusioned. Many people left the church. I don't know whether you know it or not, but I think you should know it. That's why I'm going to tell you it. Do you know that after Vatican II, 100,000 priests left the ministry? My dear friends, who can even explain that? That's inexplicable. 100,000 priests. And there were many, same thing with nuns. Hundreds of thousands of nuns left. The bulk of the teaching for the youth went apart because these sisters gave up their faith for whatever reason. The innovations came in, they thought they should be like everybody else. I was around, and that was the buzzword. Let's be like everybody else. And pretty soon, you know what? We were just like everybody else. Gave up the habits, and put on shirts and ties, and all the other nonsense. And now they want new things coming out from some of these synods we have coming up, the Amazon Synod, where they're going to propose married priests. For the priest shortage, my dear friends, there wouldn't be any priest shortage if we had doing what the Lord would want. There wasn't priest shortage for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the priest shortage came, of course, in the aftermath of those 100,000 leaving the church. So this is what's going on today. We have many false prophets who are in sheep's clothing. They look good on the outside, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. My dear friends, how did this all happen? What happened? Believe it or not, St. Paul gives us the answer in Romans 1:21 and following. Not in today's epistle, but in the first part of the epistle to Romans. And he said, "And so they are without excuse, seeing they knew God, they didn't glorify him or give him thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless mind was darkened." This is what happened, my dear friends, and it's happening today. Because people don't honor God, and don't glorify God, and don't thank God, and do not praise God, God will give them two punishments. They will become vain, foolish in their reasoning, and their minds will be darkened. Vain, foolish. What does that mean? That means they'll be saying things like, "There's no God. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You don't have to go to Mass on Sunday. You don't have to keep this commandment. You can live with your partner, all right? You can limit your children. You don't have to have all those children. We're not rabbits, you know." That's what somebody said. "We're not rabbits," as if rabbits have too many babies, as it were. We don't want to have too many babies. Like rabbits, we're human beings. We're educated. We're sophisticated. We can program our own our own lifestyle and so on. This is vain and foolish reasoning, a punishment. And then God punishes them with darkness. Their minds are darkened. They don't see. And especially they don't see in sexual matters. Remember what the Lord said, right? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If you're not pure in heart, you will never see God. You will never understand what God is doing. And that's the second part of this particular quote. And after God gives them two punishments of being vain in their reasoning and their senseless mind is darkened, then he gives them a third punishment. And he hands them over to the lustful desires of their heart. Men with men doing shameless things, and women with women exchanging that which is natural for that which is unnatural. It's right there, Romans 1:21 and following. Read it, meditate on it, and think about it. And this is why we have the trouble today. All right, Our Lady said at Fatima that most souls will go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. And what do we have today? So many sins of the flesh, and it's right there. Right, the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, men with men doing shameless things, and women with women exchanging that which is natural for that which is unnatural. And she said, Our Lady said, told Jacinta, most souls will go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. St. Alphonsus Liguori said the same in similar words, when he said that 90% of the souls in hell are there because of the sins of the flesh. My dear friends, Our Lady came to Fatima to save souls, and she warned us to be careful. And now what do we have today? We have people promoting homosexuality. We even have masses for homosexuals, places of meeting. We even have people writing books about the joys of homosexuality, all right? Celebrating it. And so forth and so on. We have it in the church. These are the false prophets promoting sodomy and homosexuality, promoting contraception and so on. And even with what we call natural family planning, they love that one because it's natural. But they don't always tell you the truth. Pope Pius XII said that natural family planning must always have a good reason. You must have a serious reason for natural family planning. You just can't use it as you would a contraception, or as one person told me in confession, she called it natural contraception. All right? Natural contraception. You're not doing anything wrong, but you're not doing what's right, because you're not having the relations you should have in the unity of love for the unity of procreation. See, it's a beautiful tandem, as it were, because God has given us the desire for relations, and the more husbands and wives come together, the better chance they have a child, right? And that's why St. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 chapter, husbands, your body is not your own, it's your wives. Wives, your body is not your own, it's your husband's. Do not refuse one another, except by mutual consent for a time. And what do we have in marriage? Marriage, husband and wife. Some wives, husbands will refuse the marital debt, the marital obligation. When you get married, you have an obligation to your wife. Whenever they request, or your husband, whenever they request relations, unless you have a good reason, you should give them the relations. And that's why I say it's important that that is done, because that naturally will bring the children, the unity of love, where you and your wife, husband, come together in love, will help procreation. It's a wonderful complementary way of doing things. Husbands and wives giving themselves to one another in sexual relations for the procreation of children. That's what sexuality is all about, right? And then we get back to what we call the sins of the flesh. The Lord told Adam and Eve that they can have all the things in paradise, all the pleasures of paradise, but there was one thing they couldn't have. They couldn't partake of the tree of good and evil. The day they took of that tree is the day they died, as it were, spiritually. And they did. They ate the fruit of that tree, and they knew they were naked, and they sinned. And look at all the trouble since that sin. Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not hurting anybody, but we're disobeying God's commandment. He said not to eat that tree. And what do we do with sexuality? God said you can have everything in this world, but you cannot have sexual pleasure outside of marriage in the proper way to have children. Right? You can't. If you do, you're committing a serious sin. And with sexual sins, there is no small matter. They are all gravely sinful, all mortal. All could condemn you to hell for all eternity. And that's why we need to tell people this. So those people living with partners, those people who are divorcing and remarrying and living in sin, we need to tell them. We need to tell them that they cannot do this. Like John the Baptist, he lost his head because he told the truth. He told Herod, it is not right for you to have your brother's wife. And the same way we should tell some people, it is not right for you to live with that woman or man without marriage. It is not right for you to live with that man who's already married. It is not right for you to contracept. It is not right for you to have an abortion. It is not right for you to have homosexual sex, etc., etc. These are the sins that will condemn people to hell. That's why Our Lady came. That's why she said, most souls will go to hell because of the flesh, sins of the flesh. The saints tell us that very few are saved. Very few. And if you look at all these sins that I've enumerated, some of them, we haven't touched them all, we'd be here a long time. There are many other sexual sins, and a new one on the block, as it were, this new transgenderism, telling people they can change their sex. Of course, that's mutilation and not accepting the identity that God has given you at birth. But that's going against God's law. That's mutilation. My dear friends, those things will condemn people to hell for all eternity. And I don't want to see that, and that's why I'm telling you, because we have an obligation to tell people. First in our own family, our brothers and sisters, our parents, our children, grandchildren, and so on, our neighbors, our friends. We don't want to see anybody go to hell. And we got to tell people it is not right for you to do those things. Because if you do, you could condemn yourself to hell for all eternity. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. It's just too, cannot even imagine it. Who can ever imagine in hell's fire for all eternity. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and have the loss of his soul? People need to understand that. All the goods of this world, all the money, all the profits and so on, it doesn't mean anything if you lose your soul. And that's why Our Lady came to Fatima, to tell us to stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. All right? These are the people who are not bearing fruit. By your fruits you shall know them. And we need to tell people. And we need to see, even in our own church, things coming down the horizon about sins that are now promoted. Sexual sins are promoted, right? In Amoris Laetitia, we had a promotion that a man who's living with a woman who's not his wife, a second marriage, and having sexual relations could receive Holy Communion. It's an abomination, right? It's a profanation of three sacraments: marriage, the Holy Eucharist, and the sacrament of confession. Three sacraments are broken in that teaching, all right? That's hinted at in Amoris Laetitia. Very subtly, you almost don't see it. Makes it look nice, and we're looking like we're charitable. Oh, isn't it nice that man who's living in sin with a woman or a man or a woman who's not married with their partner or so-called spouse, oh, wouldn't it be nice for them to receive Holy Communion? No, it wouldn't, because that would be a sin. You cannot receive Holy Communion if you're living in sin. Right? That's a sacrilege. That's blasphemy, my friends, blasphemy. And we see it now. We see it coming down. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They come in sheep's clothing and they look like they're being charitable and kind, but they're not, because they're not thinking of the soul. They're not thinking of eternal life. They're thinking of this world and the happiness of this world. Right? That's not the teachings of the church, have always been. We were to know, to love and serve God in this world, and we were to keep his commandments. And St. John tells us, he who says he loves God and doesn't keep the commandments is a liar. You have to keep the commandments. That sixth and ninth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, desire thy neighbor's wife. Those are grave sins, and all the other sins that come with it. There was one of our priests who told us one time in a sermon that idolatry always leads to adultery in all its forms. When you have idols of pleasure and you substitute things for God, when you don't adore God and you don't praise God and you don't thank God and so on, you will fall into sexual sins. Idolatry always leads to adultery in all its forms, as I've already told you with the quote from St. Paul. And so they are without excuse, seeing they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless mind was darkened. And then they were handed over to the lustful desires of their heart, men with men doing shameless things, women exchanging that which is natural for that which is unnatural. That's what we mean by idolatry. Adoring yourself and not adoring God will always lead to adultery in all its forms, and will always lead to hell. The devil is very smart. He speaks with a forked tongue. He tells you you can do this, everybody's doing it, and so on and so forth. But he's a liar and a murderer. So we have to be very careful. And that's why we need to pray and honor God. And we need to be pure, because the pure of heart will always see God. They will always know what's right. They will see God in all things, and they will see his teachings, and they will have the grace to obey these teachings. The clean of heart will see God in this world. In this world, they will see him in all things, and especially in his teachings. And they'll see the false prophets, and those people who are leading people astray, right? Notwithstanding all their parades and banners and Rainbow Coalition and all that other nonsense. It's all lies. It's all lies. It's not love. It's idolatry. They're adoring themselves and not adoring God. And my friends, this is what's happening in our world. The many false prophets who are leading many astray, many who come in sheep's clothing, but are ravenous wolves, says the Lord. So let us pray to Our Lady. And if we're praying the rosary, we'll never fall into these sins. Or if we do, we'll certainly come out of them. Our Lady will help us. And we need to pray for souls, because Our Lady said to pray and sacrifice for many souls who go to hell, because no one prays and sacrifices for them. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your parents, your grandparents. Pray for your children and your grandchildren, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, because it's epidemic out there. The devil has everybody thinking the glories of sexual pleasure. That's what we're living in, that world. We're living in an idolatrous world of sexual pleasure. And one thing about sexual pleasure, it is always what we might say, it never stops. Once you start, you can become, it's never satiated. More and more and more. And the devil knows this. And that's how he has people and grabs them and drags them to hell. Only with prayer, only with Our Lady, only with purity, only by adoring and honoring God will we see all these things. So let us pray our rosary for all these intentions, and Our Lady will take care of us. All right? I'm sorry I have to be so explicit on this, but I think we all need to be awakened, myself included. We become very laissez-faire, and we don't see what's happening all around us. And we need to tell people, right? We need to tell people to wake up, because they could lose their soul for all eternity. God bless you.